A Duty to Lead. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on America's Role and Responsibilities in a Dangerous World. A self-described movie buff and lover of Revolutionary War history and show tunes, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's life has revolved around public service. He was born in Orange, California, but calls Kansas, where he spent every summer growing up on his family's farm, his home. In 1986, Pompeo graduated first in his class at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York, where he majored in engineering management. He served as an armor officer with 2nd Squadron, 7th Cavalry, 4th Infantry Division in West Germany, then as a tank platoon commander and cavalry troop executive officer. He left the Army at the rank of captain. Following Harvard Law School, Pompeo worked in the private sector before feeling the pull to return to public service. He was elected to 3 terms in Congress, representing Kansas's 4th District. Pompeo became Secretary of State after a brief period as Director of the Central Intelligence Agency and is the first person to serve as head of both agencies. "Make no mistake," Pompeo said during his confirmation hearing, "America is uniquely blessed. And with those blessings comes a duty to lead. As I have argued throughout my time in public service, if we do not lead the calls for democracy, prosperity, and human rights around the world, who will? No other nation is equipped with the same blend of power and principle." Pompeo delivered remarks at the American Legion's 101st National Convention. Following that, he spoke with the American Legion magazine. "What does it mean to you to address the American Legion at its national convention? It's fantastic to be here among all these amazing patriots. I spoke about Americanism as something that's central to the Legion. As a proud member of Post 4 in Wichita, Kansas, I wanted to come be with people I know care deeply about America and talk to them about how President Trump and this administration are working to deliver on that Americanism." How did West Point set a trajectory for your life? "I think it set everything in motion. I had this incredible privilege. I got accepted into West Point and got a chance to go through these amazing 4 years where I was taught not only to be an engineer, but more importantly about the value set and the history and what it means to serve. Then I got a chance to go and be a soldier and be alongside some great young people delivering American lethality all across the planet. It reminded me of how important America is to the world and ensuring all the things we do to deliver security for the American people." How did military service influence your work as a diplomat? "I know what our task is. To every day deliver outcomes to the American people in a way that doesn't require the use of force. If we get it right at the State Department, if we deliver a good diplomatic outcome, then we don't have to put American lives at risk. We need the military because that force, that power, that capacity enables me to have conversations where the other side knows it's worth considering whether they ought not act in a way that's consistent with what America's trying to get. So they're symbiotic. They work together. But it places a great burden on the State Department to get it right, and it's an incredible privilege to be part of a team that so often does. We have now been at war in Afghanistan for nearly 20 years. What is your vision for the future there?" "The president has been pretty clear that he thinks the continued investment we're making is not commensurate with where we are today after 18 years. At the same time, he understands that we were attacked from that place, and we have to preserve and protect our capacity to ensure that the soil in Afghanistan is never again used to take down a tower or kill Americans. So, with those twin goals, we've been directed by the president to work on creating the conditions for reduced violence and for peace and stability in Afghanistan. No small order, but to do so in a way that reduces the number of times we have to call upon our young American men and women to travel to that faraway place. We accomplished a lot there. We crushed Al-Qaeda, the mission set we went there for. We want to make sure we get it right on reducing the risk and making sure we're not attacked. I think we can do both. What is the United States doing to counter Iran's influence in the region? Do you see a kinetic interaction as inevitable? I don't see it as inevitable. Our mission set, the president's mission set, from the very beginning, was to recognize that the previous administration had policy wrong on Iran. The nuclear agreement that was entered into created a pathway for a nuclear program in the hands of an Islamic revolutionary regime. This is not good for America. And so we set about a series of actions: the withdrawal from the agreement, the economic sanctions we put in place, getting our force posture right, all with a singular aim of convincing the Iranian people that they needed to change the direction of their leadership. The revolutionary regime needed to stop being the world's largest state sponsor of terror. They needed to stop their missile program, and they could never, ever have the capacity to deliver nuclear weapons. With those three goals, we've set about a strategic vision, and we've enlisted partners, Gulf State partners, our Israeli partners, even partners in Europe who share our concern about Iran. You've mentioned in your remarks that ISIS is regaining strength. How are we combating that? The more accurate way to describe this is that the risk of radical Islamic terrorism remains, and there are places we've had enormous success. We've defeated the caliphate in Syria. We've taken down a lot of ISIS risk in other parts of the world. But it's not just ISIS. There's still Al-Qaeda pockets. There are other radical Islamist terrorist groups as well. President Trump's mission statement said, "We've got to go fight it. We've got to go take it on, but we need to do so in a way that reflects American risk, and we need to make sure our partners around the world are doing all they can to take down the terror threat." And so you've seen big changes in how we approach this. We think we've been incredibly effective. We know the threat remains and will be dogged in protecting America from it. You and the State Department have worked hard trying to return U.S. remains from North Korea. How is the process going? There are still far too many families who have not had the remains of their loved ones returned from Korea. We work on this every day. I hope we have good news in the not-too-distant future. It's the right thing for Korea, both South and North. It's the right thing for the United States, and indeed, it's the right thing for the world. What about the freedom protests in Hong Kong? These are people who simply want what they believe the Chinese government promised them, a system that says this is different than mainland China. It's one country, two systems, where they have autonomy and freedom. That's what they're asking for. It's not much more than that. I hope this can be resolved in a way that doesn't end up in significant violence. I hope the Chinese leadership will honor its commitment. We've seen that they often don't. Austin Tice, a Marine Corps veteran turned journalist, has been held captive in Syria for over 7 years. Is the United States still working on his safe return? I know the Austin Tice story well. I've had the chance to meet lots of family members of Americans who are detained abroad. We've had good success so far. We've had more hostages returned at this point in our administration than any previous administration. We've done so without paying ransom. We think that's important. But when I was the CIA director and now as Secretary of State, the guidance from the very top, from the president, is very clear. This is a priority, and we will continue to work on it. I pray and hope we can get Austin safely returned to his family just as quickly as we can deliver that. What can the American Legion do to better support the mission of the State Department? The American Legion does great work. I get notes from my friends back at Post 4 in Wichita, just little notes of encouragement, so I hope they'll keep that up. But more broadly, the Legion and its members have to keep telling our story. It's incredibly important. There are so many families today who don't have a veteran and don't know the service. I would urge all Legionnaires to go out and talk about their story. Sometimes veterans are a little reticent to talk about their history. I hope they tell that history. If they do that, and if the American Legion keeps up its amazing work all across this country, I know the Americanism I spoke about will thrive here. Mackenzie Wolf. Watch a video online. Legion.org/magazine.